You're listening to the show that talks about stuff the others can't, don't, or won't. The Drew Marshall Show on Joy 1250.
Soul Survivor, folks. Five religious tribes competing for the soul of one person. Outwitness, outpray, outsave. Yes, we're having a little fun with this. And yes, we're totally breaking all the copyright laws by copying Survivor, the television show. But, you know, we're Canadian. Come on.
And we're Christian. They'll forgive us.
Yeah. Here's what it is, folks. Five religious tribes are going to compete for the soul of one person by explaining to our soul survivor what it is that their tribe actually believes. And the tribal leaders will not have immunity. Our soul survivor will be able to challenge, critique, or question any aspect of all tribal codes. And at the end of the contest, our soul survivor will then decide which tribe presented the most compelling case for faith, and then reveal to us if they'll be joining that tribe. Well, today's tribal leader is a lady we've had on the show a few times over the last 10 years. She is a favorite of mine. I like her. I just want to put that out there for just to be fair to everybody. You know, there's a bit of bias, but I gave her no insider information. None whatsoever.
You're not cheating, are you?
I'm not cheating. No. She's been called the best preacher in the family by her father, Billy Graham. Ann Graham Lotz speaks around the globe with wisdom and authority of years spent studying God's Word. The New York Times named Ann one of the five most influential evangelists of her generation. She's been profiled on 60 Minutes and has appeared on TV programs such as Larry King Live, The Today Show, Hannity Live, and The Drew Marshall Show. Just thought I'd add that. Her Just Give Me Jesus revivals have been held in more than 30 cities in 12 different countries to hundreds of thousands of attendees. And Anne is a best-selling and award-winning author and is the founder and president of Angel Ministries. AnneGrahamLotz.com. That's the website where you'd like to go to find out all things about this lady. Hello, Anne.
Hello, Drew. Thank you for having me.
Every time I hear your voice, I just get silly inside. It's just warm and fun and inviting. Anyway.
Well, I enjoy your style, Drew, and one of these days we'll meet in person.
I think that would be a good idea. I think that'd be good. As long as you keep Larry Ross out of the equation, we'll be fine. Listen, I want to just quickly say happy birthday to hubby. Is it today, actually?
Today. Today is his 76th birthday. He's quite a bit older than I am, but he... he's not in good health, and he's on kidney dialysis, so he had that this morning, so I knew he'd be sleeping this afternoon.
Okay.
So we celebrated last night, and we'll celebrate tomorrow night,
good. And
that made me, just freed me up this afternoon, so I'm so glad it worked out, Drew.
Fantastic. All right, listen, Anne, I want to introduce you to our soul survivor, Catalina. Catalina, this is Anne Graham Lotz.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Catalina, I'm so glad to meet you. I read your bio online. I don't know if that's cheating or not.
No, that's kind of what you're supposed to do, so well done. That's good.
Okay, I understand she's from Romania, right?
Yes, I am, yes.
And I've been twice. And it was back in the 90s. I went the first time to Oradea and had about 400 women that came. They were from all over Eastern Europe, and we went through like five different languages. I had side by side, but then we were at a venue that could do the headset translations, and a wonderful time with these precious ladies who were coming to learn the Bible. And then the second time was in Cluj, and our meetings, actually we had about 500 women. They were just from Romania, and we met in the hall where the Communist Party used to have their rallies. And so it was very special to have a meeting where we were training women in the Bible at the very place where the Communist Party leaders used to have their sessions.
Isn't that interesting? So, wow.
Yeah, wonderful country, wonderful people.
Thank you.
Now, the thing I want to start off with here is, first of all, this is kind of a unique deal because, you know, Anne, you're known because of, who you are and what you do, but also because of, you're the daughter of Reverend Dr. Billy Graham. And I said to Catalina, do you know who Anne's father is? And she said, no, I don't really know, which is fantastic.
Okay.
That she doesn't know anything about daddy.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's interesting, Drew, that there's a whole generation out there that doesn't.
Yeah.
And he may have done all that you and I know that he did, but it's interesting. There's another generation coming up that doesn't know that. So.
Well, let's start talking about Tribe Jesus and this Christian stuff that you've been all over the world talking about. Catalina, is there a question you want to start right off? Just jump right in with the zinger right off the bat. What do you have to say to Anne?
wow. I would like to know a little bit about the history of the family. So.
All right. So maybe you could explain just a little bit about the history of the Billy Graham family.
Okay, well, my daddy was born and raised on a dairy farm. His daddy didn't go past the sixth grade. My daddy went to Bible school and then college. He gave his heart to Jesus when he was 18 years of age and felt really called at that point by God to preach and to tell people what we describe as the good news, that there is a God in heaven, that he loves you, that he sent his son to die on the cross to take away your sin, and if you put your faith in him, you can have your sins forgiven and come into a personal relationship with God. And then you can also have the assurance that when you die, you go to heaven. And so he's been all over the world. He's preached face-to-face to more people alive than any other person in the history of mankind. They estimate over 220 million people have heard him live face-to-face, and that's not counting TV, radio, books. But he's now, he'll be 95 this year and still loves Jesus, still loves his Bible and loves the gospel and loves people. And then my mother was born and raised in China. She was the daughter of missionaries there. My grandfather was a medical surgeon who set up a hospital in mainland China. She came to this country when she was 18, and then she went to school at Wheaton College in Chicago, Illinois, which is where she and my father met. They had five children. I'm the second. I have an older sister, a younger sister, two younger brothers. We all do different things. I've been married to my husband for 47 years this year, and so is that enough?
That was great.
Oh, wow.
She's just bang, 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 right into it. Now, what about the Christian faith? Any questions about what she believes?
Well, I have grown with Orthodox, within the Orthodox beliefs, mm-hmm. which, to my knowledge, is quite close to the Catholic beliefs, but always had that curiosity about the Catholic Church, and always, I was always looking up to the Catholic Church being, coming from a different level, I can say, different space.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Can you explain a bit why would I feel this way?
Why you still sort of feel a reverence for the Catholic
yes,
Church?
Yes,
is that what
yes.
you're saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And having grown up in the Orthodox Church over in where were you again? Romania or something like that? Why would she still sort of feel? I mean, she's been wandering spiritually
yes,
and
yes.
thinking about this and thinking about that, but she still feels a draw towards that whole thing.
Yes. Well, you know, I'm not Catholic, Catalina. You know, I'm Protestant, and
okay.
I think one thing that impresses me about the Catholic Church is some of their rituals and traditions. There's a reverence, and they communicate a holiness of God and a strong, deep faith. I disagree with their theology in many cases,
mm-hmm.
but I think they do for me sort of what you're sensing. Also, I've watched this new Pope and have been so impressed with his humility and some of the things that he's done. It's been very endearing. But I would like, if I can say this and just sort of cut right to it, and Drew, I hope I'm not going to throw you a curve, but
no.
I'm not such a big proponent of religion. I think religions can be divisive, and they cause wars, they get people angry, and so I'm not promoting a religion. I'm promoting a relationship with God. And there's a big difference. To me, religion is man's form, traditions, rituals, philosophy, belief system. They're trying to reach God or reach heaven or reach a state of spiritual consciousness that will transform them into whatever, whatever. And you just can't do that, because there's a big gap between God and man. And that's why God sent his son, and Jesus is not just... we think of Jesus as the Son of God, but he's not God Jr. He is God in the flesh who came down to not only show us exactly what God is like, but to offer himself as a sacrifice for our sins so that when we trust him as our Savior and we believe he died for us and ask him to forgive us and to come into our hearts, then we can come into a personal relationship with God. And there's a big difference. In fact, Catalina, I'm going to be so bold as to tell you that I think that's what you're looking for.
Exactly. You're talking, it's like my heart talking right now.
Yes.
It's what I believe, exactly what you just said.
Yes.
Put in better words than I can, but wow, yes.
It's actually what you and I were created for. There is a living God, and he sits on the throne in heaven, and he loved us so much. He created us because he wanted to know us. He wanted us to know him. He created us for that personal relationship. And And mankind, years ago, sinned, and the sin broke that relationship and separated us from God. And then there's a long history in it's chronicled in the Old Testament, of man trying to know God and just failing. And in fact, you think of the Ten Commandments, that's like God's standard that was written not so that we would keep it, but to show us that we can't, that we're sinners. And so then God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to take away our sin. And when we trust Jesus and put our faith in him, our sin is forgiven, and we come into the relationship with God that we were created for in the beginning. It's what we were made for. There's a big difference between knowing God in a personal love relationship and a big difference between that and religion.
And let me just throw something at you. You keep mentioning this word sin, and I don't know, that's kind of a heavy, you know, like really sin? Yeah. I mean, what is sin? And like, you know, I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't, whatever other things that you want to throw in there. I've done lots of dumb stuff, but come on. Why do I have to be all this forgiveness and sin? And does God really look at me that badly, that poorly?
Yes. You know, God loves you, Drew. I mean, I know you know that. And God loves Catalina, and he doesn't look at us poorly. He just looks at us with eyes that see that we fall short of his mark. So he had a standard of perfection. He created us perfect, and we disobeyed him. You know, we have defied him. We've rebelled against him. And if you doubt, if you have any doubts about sin, you just need some children, you know, and your children will teach you. You know, you can teach them all the right things, and there they go stealing a cookie. They talk back to you. They stomp their feet. They throw a temper tantrum, and you think, where did this come from?
You've just described me. Forget my kids.
Yeah. And I think if you look at our world today, Drew, and the things that are happening, and of course, I'm not sure about Canada, but down here, it's amazing, the shootings and the ugly things that are happening, and makes me think, you know, there's just something wrong with the human race. We have freedom, we have prosperity, we have so many good things. What's wrong with us that we would trash it like we do? And the Bible tells us that what's wrong with us is that we have a spiritual disease, and it's called sin. Okay. And it's fatal, actually. If you don't do anything about it, then when you die, it will cost you your eternal life.
All right, Catalina?
Okay, just because I've been going through 2 weeks of, I could call it pain, actually, mainly since we started this show and mainly since I'm starting to learn more and more and dig in deeper and deeper. Honestly, day by day life, I feel that I'm doing everything wrong right now, because if I go by the book, I feel that as soon as you engage in the society, as soon as you start having interactions with people on any level, you cannot remain in the pure. Unfortunately, there is a way.
People trigger ugliness in other people?
Well, not actual ugliness, but it's just the interaction is not as by the Bible, you know, like no matter how much you try, you still are in the sin. And that is puzzling me and it's torturing me, because I had a moment in my life where I removed myself pretty much from the society and stayed in prayer and meditation, and I came to balance. And then I decided, okay, let's go back in the society.
Yeah.
And now I am mashed potatoes, because right. Really, my emotions are so high.
Right.
I have tears in my eyes, and it's this, in a way, for me now, I feel that it's a burden to believe that everything we do can be considered a sin.
Not everything. It's like a disease. So that everything is tainted by sin. Mm-hmm. It's not everything that you do. It's like it's just infected with sin. But let me tell you something else that's a little bit deep, maybe, for, I don't know, we'll see. But when you come by faith to Jesus and you acknowledge to him that you're a sinner, that you're just mashed potatoes, that everything, you know, you're just making a mess, and that you believe he died on the cross to take away your sin. And so you just say, Jesus, I'm going to give you my sin. And in exchange, he gives you his righteousness, his right standing before God. So he wraps you in his righteousness. So So from that moment forward, when God looks at you, he doesn't see you as a sinner. He sees you wrapped in the righteousness of his son. But in addition to that, Catalina, when you claim Jesus as your Savior and you invite him to come into your life, he comes into you in the person of his Holy Spirit. So right now, I'm sitting here in my office, and I'm Ann Lotz, and I was born Ann Graham, but inside of me, I also have another person. I have the person of Jesus living inside of me. In the person of his Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit of God, it's Jesus living inside of me, that enables me to live a life where I can't live sin-free, because I will always be a sinner until I see Jesus, but I can live a life that pleases God. And he gives me a new will to obey him, and he gives me a new emotion to love people I don't like, and a new mind to think his thoughts and to have wisdom and understand what I read in the Bible. And so within me there is a new person, as well as the person I was born with, and it's that what I have to do is learn how to live in that new person, which is why every day I read my Bible, every day I pray, every day I try to live out what I read in my Bible so that I live for him, and I make many mistakes, and I fail, and I come short, but I know I'm already forgiven, and so I just get back up, and he's going to help me do better the next time, and increasingly, I grow stronger in my faith, and I believe increasingly the Holy Spirit within me helps me live a life that's pleasing to God.
All right, yes, Catalina, yes, there's a lot there.
Yes, there's a lot there, and what I hear is self-forgiveness.
Okay, you're right. Self-forgiveness, because you eventually, and maybe I'll put some words into this, I think the idea is that we eventually start to see us the way God sees us, as opposed to us looking in the mirror and seeing our cracks, our faults, our dirt, our baggage, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And the reality is, and I think what Anne has been saying, is that, you know, when there's a surrendered heart before the Creator, and the pure, perfect, holy God says, I created you to be in relationship with me, but along the way, humanity has rebelled against me, and unfortunately, you're part of humanity. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've made the first move. I created you. Mm-hmm. I made the second move. I loved you. Mm-hmm. Now I need you just to turn towards me. Turn away from ways that you know in your own head are kind of cheeky and rebellious or whatever, or selfish. You know, let's use that word. We're all stinking selfish.
Yes, that's what it is. Yeah.
And then if you could just surrender to me, then I can actually see you as perfect from now on. And the only reason I can do that is because I'm fair. I don't change the rules. Mm-hmm. So God says, if there's sin, there's got to be punishment. But that's where the Jesus stuff comes into it, because the punishment that he took, right, you know about the Easter weekend, what we're talking about here, that's taking care of things so that God can now look at you as perfect. Did I do any justice there at all, Anne?
You know, I think you did a beautiful job, Drew. And I will say this, Catalina, that you've hit on something that people who have been Christians for a long time never seem to get, and that is that there does have to be a self-forgiveness. Okay. And if God tells you, which he does, when you come by faith to Jesus Christ and claim him as your Savior, and God says, then, Catalina, I'm going to forgive you of all of your sin, all of the sin of yesterday, today, and the future, all of your sin for all of your life is forgiven, because what Drew just explained, Jesus took God's judgment for that on the cross. So you're all forgiven. And now, Catalina, what you have to do is forgive yourself. Okay. And the reason, and I have to forgive myself. And I'll tell you, I've struggled a little bit with that as I've watched my children grow up and they suffer the consequences of some of my sins, you know, the things that I did not right as a parent. And I've just felt so guilty about it. And so I've had to say, God, I know I'm forgiven and you've forgiven me, therefore I have to forgive myself. You see, because if God says, I forgive you, and I say, but I can't forgive myself, then I'm saying I'm more righteous than God.
Yeah,
my
standards
are higher than his.
Okay, and one thing that Catalina has asked our other tribal leaders have been questions about what happens when you die, how are women treated in your tribe, and what's another third one? Can you think of a third one?
Oh, there's a new one. No, yeah. There's a new one that comes to my since I've been searching. Where is science? Where does science sit within the religion?
Okay. All right. So science, women, And what was the what happens when you die? Yeah,
those are three small topics.
Yeah, just small. Can you cover those in 30 seconds, please?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's take the when you die. The Bible says, and by the way, this is something else I probably should have laid out at the beginning. I don't have ideas on my own. You know, I just have to tell you what the Bible says, and I believe the Bible is God's word, and I believe from cover to cover it's the truth. Maybe I don't understand everything, but I believe it's the truth because God is a gentleman. He doesn't lie. So I just take him at his word. So he says in the Bible that for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So there is an eternal life aspect that this life is not all there is. We were created to live forever. And when you put your faith in Jesus and you're forgiven of your sin and you invite him to come in and the Holy Spirit of the living God lives in you, and it's what Jesus described in John chapter 3 as being born again. You can start life over again. You have a new person living inside of you. When you die, that your faith becomes sight. That person that's within you goes to heaven to live with Jesus forever and ever. You're as accepted in heaven as Jesus is, not based on anything, not based on the way you've lived your life or your good works versus your bad works, just based on what Jesus Christ has done for you, and you put your faith in him, and you're welcomed in heaven. If you don't put your faith in Jesus, if you reject him, and you say, you don't need this, other religions are okay, or whatever, then when you step into eternity, you don't snuff out, you just are separated from God forever, and the Bible calls that hell. So it's just eternal separation from God.
What happens in the Jesus tribe, and I'll keep using that language, when we don't necessarily obey all the rules?
Well, that's why we have a Savior. That I don't obey all the rules.
And Graham Lotz does not obey all the rules?
You know, it's not a question of checking off, have I done this, have I not done that. It's not rules-oriented, it's a relationship, Drew. So once I establish that personal relationship with God at the cross of Jesus Christ, then I want to keep the rules because I want to please God, but I'm here to tell you I don't always keep the rules. But I'm forgiven. That's why. And God knows that. That's why he sent Jesus to die for me, because he knew I wasn't perfect and I would keep breaking the rules, and I needed somebody to save me and to offer me forgiveness. And so he has sent Jesus for me.
How about the women? You're a woman. You happen to be in the Jesus tribe. How have you been treated?
I will tell you that some Christians act like Christians and some Christians don't. And so I've been treated very well by some and not so well by others. But, you know, that's true of anything, isn't it?
Yeah.
So let me tell you this. Jesus loves women, and this weekend in particular, I love the story of the resurrection. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, the first ones at the tomb, or one of the first ones, were John and Peter, two of his disciples. They ran inside the tomb. They saw that it was empty. They ran out. And then here comes Mary Magdalene, and I'm assuming that she had been a former prostitute. He had cast seven tormentors out of her. She had become a disciple in her own way, and she's coming back to the tomb, and she sticks her head in, and the angels are there and say, why are you seeking the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. And she turns, and she sees the person in back of her that she thinks is the gardener, and so she asks him, if he's taken the body of Jesus away, would he tell her where it is, because she wants to go get his body? And the person she thought was a gardener just calls her by her name, Mary. And she suddenly her eyes are open, and she sees that it's Jesus. And he's standing there with the wound in his brow where the thorns had been, the wounds in his nails and feet where the nails had been. And she throws her arms around him. And this is my point, Catalina, that John and Peter had just been there. They were the leaders of the disciples. They were the ones that were going to establish the church, preach the gospel to the world. But Jesus didn't reveal himself to them. He reserved that first revelation for a woman. And I believe it's because he was sending a message through the ages that a lot of people haven't gotten, that he loves women, that they are commissioned also to share the wonderful good news that we have a Savior. Our sins can be forgiven. We can start afresh. We can have a personal relationship with God through faith in him. And he sent her back to Jerusalem to tell 11 men the good news, and they didn't believe her. You know, they thought she was hysterical, but it didn't make any difference. She still had the privilege of being the first, if you want to call it, preacher or evangelist. And there are other passages, you know, other women in Scripture. Jesus went out of his way to honor them, to love them, to establish them in leadership positions. And And I know there's disagreement on that, but within the church is different to be a leader like a senior pastor within the church and to be doing what I do or other women throughout the ages. Jesus loves women, and he honors them and has blessed them in so many ways. So never mind how sometimes people in the tribe behave.
Okay, we are speaking with, I'm going to start calling you our good friend, Ann Graham Lotz. AnnGrahamLotz.com is a website you want to go to check out all things Ann Graham Lotz. And she is our tribal leader today, representing Tribe Jesus for our Soul Survivor fun little contest that we're doing. And in the studio with Catalina, who is our Soul Survivor. We've been speaking the last couple of weeks with one of the leaders of the Mormon tribe, one of the leaders of the Muslim tribe, and today it's Ann Graham Lotz. And Catalina has also asked, you know, where does science fit in? Does science sort of laugh at the Bible? Does science go against the Bible? Do you have to close your ears and your eyes when you read the Bible because there's stuff in there that is just goofy and for people who are intelligent, they're never going to get the Bible? How does that work?
No, you know, I'm not a scientist, and the Bible is not a scientific manual, but everything the Bible says is true, and God created the universe, so he would be the most brilliant scientist there is. Science comes from him, you know, so there's nothing in the Bible that's goofy that way, but it's not that. The Bible is God's word that teaches us how we can know God in a personal relationship from beginning to end. It teaches us who we are and who he is and how we can know him. The science aspect, as far as, you know, all the things that we're discovering now, I think must bring him pleasure because he created it, and surely he wants us to know these things. And I believe with his blessing, he reveals truth to us so that we can have some of the incredible breakthroughs we've had. I don't know how to, there's no contradiction there. You can be a Christian and believe in science.
Yes, it's not a question that I have. It's just I want to make a remark.
Go ahead.
The way you talk, it just feels, I go a lot by what I feel. It feels like honey and milk.
It feels like honey. You know what? I've often said that when Ann Graham Lotz talks, it feels like honey and milk. Now, listen, you know, this is the sort of thing that is a little unfair because, you know, in half an hour, we can't cover everything. And there's lots more things to discuss and to chat about, but we don't have the time. But we want to get a leader from every tribe, or as many tribes as we can, represented here. And Ann, should she feel should Catalina feel God stirring in her heart and maybe pulling her in a certain direction? What advice would you give Catalina, our Soul Survivor contestant, in regards to moving forward towards God?
I think she can do what you said, Drew, and that is just to turn towards him and call out to him. Catalina, you don't have to pray in some sort of fancy language. You just say, God, I want to know you. I want to know the truth. And I believe Jesus is your son. I want to know who he is. And I would suggest that you pick up your Bible and start reading his biographies or in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Maybe start with the Gospel of John, the biography of John, and just read the story of Jesus. And when you, before you read it, just ask God to open your eyes to the truth, that you might know him, not in a religion. We're not talking about a set of rules or rituals or traditions. We're talking about knowing God in a personal, passionate, intimate relationship that when you put your faith in Jesus is also permanent. So when you die, you just close your eyes to this life and you open them to the face of Jesus and you're going home.
You know, I don't know if this is going to sound creepy, Ann, but I'm going to say it anyway. I love you so much.
Oh, that doesn't sound creepy, Drew. That sounds precious.
Well,
thank you.
You're just. I don't know. I'll stop there. Thank you, because I don't want to bias this conversation. I already have enough, and I don't want Catalina to go, oh, I like Ann. Because Drew liked Ann. I don't want her to do that. But anyway,
I appreciate that. I take it as a high compliment. And Catalina, it's been a joy and a pleasure to talk with you, and I'm going to be praying for you that you'll find the truth, you'll find Jesus.
Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for talking to me.
And thank you very, very much, and I look forward to our next conversation.
Thanks. God bless you. Thanks.
You too. Bye-bye. Ann Graham Lotz on the Drew Marshall Show during our Soul Survivor Contest. I feel sorry for you, Catalina.
Oh, God. I don't even start.
Because you've just been inundated with 3 weeks of, oh, my goodness, right? Three different tribes, everyone telling you what their tribe is all about. So this is what's going to happen. For the next 2 weeks, you're going to have a break.
I'm going to take into a silent retreat, I think. I'm just going to go and...
You've got a vacation
quiet.
Plan, and we're using a little bit of getaway time, all right? And we're going to stop inundating you with different tribes. But when you're done the two-week break, you're going to come back, right?
I'm going to come back, I suppose, on a different level, right?
Okay. Yeah. All right. 3 weeks from today, we'll have Catalina back, and our Soul Survivor contest will continue. Catalina, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
We'll be right back.